Blog Talk Radio.
This is the E.L. Moore Journal. I am the host and producer of the E.L. Moore Journal, Ernest Moore. We are live. Today is February 6th in the year of our Lord 2022. I started a little later this episode because I was having some technical difficulties earlier today when I was testing my equipment. I think I got it worked out. I sure hope I got it worked out, or else you may not even be able to hear me now. That's why it would be good if I had a co-host or some co-hosts to do this show. Today was a pretty good day as far as weather is concerned, a little on the chilly side. There is a big freeze that's coming down in this country from the north, like Canada. Most of the states are buried in snow. California is pretty sunny, but on the chilly side. And that's okay with me. Actually, I kind of like it that way. I do not like the oppressive heat that is on its way for the summer. It's very uncomfortable for me. In the news here, locally and nationally, as you should probably know if you are in this country, every day it's COVID, COVID, COVID. In the morning, COVID. In the afternoon, COVID. At night, COVID, COVID, COVID. Everything is COVID, like people are dying in the streets. And they're not dying in the streets. And I do not believe the numbers that they're reporting for the people that are hospitalized and the deaths that they're reporting. It's a whole lot of fishy stuff going on here. Now, in Los Angeles, we are still in the semi-lockdown situation, where they want everybody to wear a mask all the time, especially when you go indoors. And most annoyingly is when you have to wear a mask to go into a restaurant and you have to show that you're fully vaccinated to get into most restaurants. Some restaurants are kind of relaxed on it. Others, they make you wear the mask and show your vaccination, and then you get into the restaurant, and people are sitting there eating with no mask on. And people are still getting infected, even though they had the vaccination. The best defense for this COVID virus, which is a flu virus, is to have natural immunity. You're actually better protected if you catch this thing and you survive it than to get this vaccine. The other problem with the vaccine is it's still experimental. They're supposed to run tests on it, on a proposed vaccine or a suggested agent that would work as a vaccination. They're supposed to be testing it for at least like 4 years before they release it out to the general public. This thing has not been tested enough. I've heard reports from people that have had the vaccination. They've had strong reactions to it. real strange things. So I have not taken the vaccination. I will not take the vaccination unless they absolutely force me to. And it's almost to that point now because people can't keep jobs. You can't get into certain places unless you're vaccinated. That's just totally insane. Now, also, there is this thing about the government forcing people, forcing landlords to not evict tenants, even though they're not paying rent. And this is under the guise that, oh, we're just trying to protect people and we don't want to increase homelessness. The best solution for homelessness is to make sure people are employed, like everybody's employed, and that they have job security. That's a lot of what has caused this epidemic of so-called homelessness, even though 90% of the homeless people are severely mentally ill, like they're on a psychotic level. But a lot of what causes homelessness is that and it goes all the way back to the Reagan and Bush administrations, that they stepped on job protections. There's no job security now, as started back in the 80s. And employers can't just run over people any kind of way they want to. It's still an employer's market. And it costs so much to sue an employer once you've been wrongfully terminated. And that's something I should do a series on employment law, which I hope to do someday, because it affects homelessness. And they're not talking about that. Now, the politicians say, oh, well, we're just going to build more affordable housing and shelters. But they don't touch on what is the root cause of this homelessness situation that we have, especially in Los Angeles, because it is really, should I say, grotesque. And they're trying to take people off the streets over there in Inglewood for the Super Bowl that's coming up soon, because they have so many people just sleeping on the street, whacked out people, walking around with blankets, talking to themselves, prone to violence, sleeping on the street, urinating on the street, defecating on the street. So they want to make Inglewood look pretty again. Inglewood, the city of Inglewood, is one of the most corrupt cities in Los Angeles County. All of Los Angeles County is totally corrupt and it's racist. These are all subjects of another show. I will move on. One of the other things I want to bring up tonight is this situation with Hunter Biden and Sloppy Joe. They don't seem to talk about that much. Joe Biden is a criminal, and he's a racist. I don't understand how this is supposed to be better than the Trump administration. They got the orange man out, and now we got Sloppy Joe. Is this supposed to be better? Any kind of way better. The situation about Trump. And I know a lot of people were all crazy about Trump, didn't like Trump at all. They said he was a racist, a homophobe, a xenophobic, and et cetera, et cetera. But he straightened out the economy real quick. And that shows that the economy was messed up deliberately in the Obama-Biden administration. Biden was the one that helped to jack this country up in the first place, even though I feel that he was a continuation. He's just a flunky for the Bush administration. The Bush administration back in 2000 was jacking the country, jacking the economy up left and right. And it's affecting the whole world. And Obama, Biden were just flunkies for the Obama administration. And Bush is Skull and Bones. I believe that Skull and Bones is this so-called shadow government. These are billionaires that are running this country. And they don't show themselves. They don't know who these members are of Skull and Bones. But they're very powerful billionaires. They are Republicans and Democrats. And our federal government at the top is sold out to them. Our federal government is nothing but a class of criminals. Now, Trump made a lot of mistakes, and I want to go into another show about what happened with the Trump administration. Nobody's analyzing what happened to the Trump administration. I think that would make a great documentary. One of the things he did wrong is that he didn't expose Skull and Bones. He didn't take out Skull and Bones. He should have taken the Bush family out, period. And he was messing around, kissing up to these conservative Republicans, which are, a lot of them are Skull and Bones. A lot of them are Nazis. They were corrupt. And in the end, they just kicked him out of office. Impeached him twice illegally and just kicked him out of office. Now, Trump did not do anything about the judicial system. The judicial system is corrupt, totally corrupt, or the judicial branch of our government is totally corrupt. Especially the Supreme Court. And Trump appointed a lot of judges to the Supreme Court. And it's just, that Supreme Court is a rat's nest. Our Supreme Court now is just totally corrupt. And I blame that in part to Trump. Trump wasn't running this country. He was being run. Trump is not a leader. He's a follower. And he was following the wrong people. And he ended up paying for it in the end. And they just kicked him out of office. Now, the situation with Hunter Biden, I'll probably do another show on that to bring out all the corruption that was going through Hunter Biden. And there's several sources that have been reporting on this. The evidence is very solid, but it's not hitting the mainstream media at all. I don't know why Biden gets a pass on everything. If they had this on Trump, they would have been jumping up and down, impeaching him, trying to file federal charges against him, et cetera, et cetera. Trump would have been in jail by now. But to make a long story short, Hunter Biden was involved with the Chinese, getting a lot of money, maybe billions of dollars. I think he was involved with the Russians, and et cetera, et cetera. He was doing a lot of bad things. Plus, he was calling Obama a nigger. So that just shows you how much integrity Obama has. Why would he pick a segregationist to be the vice president? None of these black so-called Democrats are saying anything about that. So that's all I have to say about that. That's part of another show. I need to move on. I see I have a caller here. A caller has his hand up. I will get to you in just a minute. Hold tight. Now, I'd like to announce a possible new show, a new channel on Blog Talk Radio. I think because I've done so many shows about probate court corruption that I should produce just a separate show for probate, which I might call the Probate Justice Show. Hopefully I will get a co-host or co-hosts to help me do the show and just focus on the probate issues. And I will go on and bring a variety of issues to report on. I've done a lot of media on the probate crimes, especially here in Los Angeles. And it's not just a local problem, it is a national problem. And our taxes pay for it. They need to do something about that. Now I will move on into what I've experienced related to my probate case and other issues around it. But before, I want to play this little song here, "Where is the Love?" by Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway. And I will be right back. Trying to turn it down. I have some background music. I'm playing "Where is the Love" because I still have not heard anything from the lawyer for Britney Spears. That is Matthew Rosengart. I would like to hear from him. Or at least I'd like to find out if he could take my case or represent the members of my support group for the victims of the Los Angeles probate court system. Hopefully, maybe someday I'll be hearing from him. I've been through a whole lot this week. I'm trying to get ready to go into court again next, in about 2 weeks. I have a hearing with Judge Anna Maria Luna. This is in Department 11, Stanley Moss Courthouse here in Los Angeles. One of the things I've done, now I filed a complaint with the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office in the real estate fraud section. And I have been calling and calling, trying to find out what's going on with this investigation. I haven't heard anything from them. And this is going on for about 2 months now. Haven't heard anything from them. I've been calling them and calling them. They've been transferring me around, leaving messages, et cetera, et cetera. This is the other issue that I did not bring up when I was talking about COVID here in Los Angeles. We are still in semi-lockdown. We're just in one step away from being fully locked down. Now, not only do we have to wear masks, but all of the county government facilities are semi-locked down. A lot of people aren't coming to the office. Some of them are working from home. Other people just aren't there. One of these offices or departments of Los Angeles County is the District Attorney's Office. I've had another problem with the tax collectors and the assessor's office. where they owe me a big refund, which they have not paid me yet. And the story about all of the people I've tried to contact, leaving messages and whatnot, is another nightmare. I will not go into that today, but I want to focus today on the district attorney's office. So out of the blue last week, early in the week, I got a call from an investigator. Says her name is Llama. And I was, she said, well, we got a message that you had a complaint in the real estate fraud unit. And I said, yes. And she said, well, can you give me information about it? And I said, oh, well, wait just a minute. I have to pull it up. I didn't know you were going to call and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you know, you have my name and you have my number. Couldn't you pull up, how come you can't pull up the complaint? And she got kind of real defensive about it and said, well, I can't do that. You have to pull up the information. And I said, well, now how come you can't pull it up? This was a serious, these were serious crimes that I'm reporting. Shouldn't you be able to pull up something about it and find out why or if there's an investigation going on or what's going to be done and something like that? And then she just hung up the phone. She didn't want to tell me why she couldn't pull up any information about it. Now, I assume it was probably because she's maybe working from home or something, but she didn't want to tell me that. But she just hung up the phone, which makes me very angry. I am going to file a complaint about that. I am gearing up to actually do demonstrations in front of the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office soon. I'm working on printing up banners and signs, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to put out flyers to try to get people to come, and I want to do regular demonstrations, just as we did just before the last district attorney was voted out of office, Jackie Lacey. I want to hold Gascon accountable. That's the current district attorney. I think this is a very good time because there's a big recall campaign going against him now. A lot of people don't like him. So I'm hoping the media will come out while we're there to hear our story and to actually use this against him if he does not take any action, and his deputies and investigators, whatever. Because what I was reporting is felony crimes, and it's directly related to this probate court case that I'm in. And that's one of the things I'm going to be demanding, is that they file criminal charges against all the judges in the courthouse that I'm in. That's the Stanley Moss Courthouse. I saw a Zoom. There was a Zoom meeting by an organization called SEER, I think. That's how you pronounce it, C-E-A-R. And their mission is to bring about reforms to probate conservatorships. That was very, very informative Zoom meeting. And it had several organizations that they were working with, one of them being the Free Brittany people and the Kasem Cares people. We're working with them. Their presenters were excellent, I thought. They were talking about the changes now that are coming down through the California legislature, specifically because of the Britney Spears case. But it's only focused on conservatorships. They passed, or they're constructing laws to make it harder to get in conservatorships and harder to get out of conservatorships. Now, my main criticism of that is that that's just a little piece of the problem, or just a small piece of the puzzle. And they had other presenters that said the same thing, that they have to address court procedures and specifically how to address corrupt judges. And they're not going to stop the corruption in these probate cases unless they police these judges much more efficiently. That brings up now the judge in my case, Judge Luna, Anna Maria Luna, who should be in jail. I don't want to hear any other thing else. I don't want her just removed from the bench. She should go to jail for what she's done in my case and the other cases from the people that are in my victim support group. Not only her, but now the supervising judge of that probate court, which is the same judge that Britney Spears has. That is Brenda Penny. I call her Money Penny. She's dirty also. I filed a declaration in the Britney Spears case detailing some of the corruption in my case from individuals that are in the Britney Spears case. She never answered that. That was back before, I think it was November, where she was released from her conservatorship. And after that, I filed a complaint to her as the supervising judge about this judge that's in my case now, Department 11, Judge Anna Maria Luna, and the criminal misconduct that she continues to engage in. And Judge Penny has not answered my complaint at all, and that is her duty. Haven't heard one thing from her. That is why that court is so corrupt. Now, I have a caller. I believe he said he was a prosecutor down in Florida, but it sounds very interesting. I'm actually going to devote the rest of the show in interviewing him. So let's bring him on here. Hello.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Hello. All right. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. I was actually a legal defense counselor. It's a glorified paralegal that gets paid twice the money to do all the paperwork for the lawyers, but we just never pass the bar.
And where, first of all, can you give us your name?
Yes, I'm Joshua.
Joshua. And were you working for the courts or the government?
I was actually challenging. In 2012, I was working with a firm that was actually right across the street from the courthouse, like right down the street. And I filed 40% of the paperwork that ended up getting a sheriff's department completely shut down in Waldo, Florida for corruption.
Whoa. So you're working for a private law firm?
I was working for accountability for the people that were employed by the state, and they weren't doing it themselves. So I encouraged people that I was working with to go find other people that had similar complaints to mine, because I had been a victim of it as well. They said I ran a stop sign with no evidence at all, and they somehow won in court when I went in to challenge that it's impossible that whatever, you know, there's how many cameras, you know, in the small town. I'm not going to talk about that, but I'm just saying I was on several cameras. Apparently the officer had no evidence. It didn't matter. And then they said I was speeding. I said, can I see any kind of evidence that you have on your speedometer, you know, your little speed gun? Do you have anything? No, doesn't matter. And I said, okay. And then I actually went into the records, and I found out that they were writing over like 100,000 tickets a year out of the small town between Gainesville, Florida, and Jacksonville. And I said, that doesn't make any sense. Because that's actually a trucker lane. So they're writing tickets for tourists and truckers moving, you know, freight across the state lines up into Georgia. So I challenged that. And, yeah, it turns out they write tickets all the time for anybody that they don't recognize their vehicle from in town, because it's a shipping lane, it's a freight lane. So, yeah, they'll pull over truckers all the time. They pull over tourists. If your license plate's out of state, they'll pull you over. It doesn't matter what you're doing. And I was able to convince the people that I was working with at the time to work with me to pursue other people who have had complaints about this. And we worked together. I ended up writing up about 40% of the complaints. They wrote up 60. And we all, the funny thing was, when I walked into that courthouse in the Alachua County Court, I walked in and I put all this paper on the table and I said, here's a list of complaints for the police department in Waldo, Florida. And they said, well, you know, can we see your bar card? Can we talk? And I was like, oh, no, I'm just filing these complaints, you know. You know, I'm a citizen of the United States. So I should be able to file complaints whenever I feel like it. And they're like, huh. And they reluctantly did it. And then right after I did it, the lawyer standing right behind me was the person I was working with, and they filed even more complaints. And they were like, oh, we did not realize. Yeah, I'm working with other people. You know, I've always done that. But, yeah, we were able to prove that they were targeting people from out of state, which Florida is definitely a vacation destination. So, yeah, it was one hell of a show. But I actually even talked to the chief of police that I got fired after that, and he was not too happy with me. You know, you mess with people.
Now, so that had a big effect on the police department, you say?
No, there is no more. There's no more Waldo Police Department in Florida.
Wow.
It's all run by Alachua County Sheriff's Office and the Florida State Police.
Did you file a lawsuit against them?
I filed a bunch of complaints, and I left it to my lawyer friends to file the lawsuit. The complaints stacked on top of each other, and all the evidence that we had, it was impossible for them to rebut that. So there's no way. Now, their hands were tied behind their back. They were hanging up. They were Houdini'd. They were hanging upside down by a chain about to be dropped into a shark tank. There was nothing they could have done. It was all right there on paper. All the evidence was there. So, yeah, they shut down the police department instead of taking accountability for their participation, Alachua County's participation in covering up that they've been a tourist trap. They've been a speed trap. They've been corrupt the entire time. Like the past, like 20 years.
Yeah, that's interesting. Was that in the news out there?
Yeah, look it up. Yeah, Waldo, Florida, police department shut down. Yeah,
now, was this
we
year?
Shut them down.
Was that this year or last year? What year was it?
Oh no, this was in my early 20s. It was like 2012,
2013. Oh, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not necessarily a claim to fame. It's a claim to knowing how these people work. Because, I don't know, I was in pursuit of my Juris Doctorate to become an attorney until I started meeting all these people, all these lawyers. And then, I couldn't do it. They lie for a living. You know, they have to be a zealous advocate for their client. Doesn't matter if they know they're terrible. So, yeah, I decided to change careers after that, but... Yeah, that was my claim to knowledge of the situation, is that I understand how willing they are to lie and cover up people's nonsense, especially bad behavior, for political gain.
That's an interesting story.
I wouldn't recommend anyone else do this, by the way, unless you're willing to spend a few nights in jail. It's not a fun experience being targeted by police, especially in Florida where they love their cops. But yeah.
So is that what you wanted to talk about? Do you know anything about the probate courts down there?
Yes, I do. Yeah, that was actually, I dealt with a lot of that. I dealt with a lot of different cases, but the one that most solidified my inability to work in that area again was what I just told you. Yeah, I worked on a bunch of different cases, traffic, probate, minor drug offenses.
And what can you say about probate?
Depending on who you know, the only way you get out of it is that call to say, you know, if there's any evidence that you're, if that you know somebody, then they'll let you go. But if you don't know the right people, nobody makes that call, you're going to have a lengthy experience, a time-costing experience, a financial experience where they're going to go after you until they squeeze every last penny that they expect out of you in the beginning. So, yeah, it's not a sweet game.
So you would say that it's a racket down there too?
It's a racket everywhere. I'm from Chicago.
Oh, okay. You know about Chicago system also, huh?
Yeah, no, I'm more familiar with Chicago. that's why it was actually really easy for me to, you know, stir things up down in Florida, because Chicago, they would have shut me down 3 days. It would have taken 3 days for me to completely be shut down. In Florida, they were like, what's this guy talking about? You know, they were trying to figure out what's going on, because the people that had to investigate weren't in on it. So, yeah.
So you,
and then everything spiraled.
So they actually looked into what you were complaining about.
Yes, sir.
Down there in Florida. It's interesting that you brought that up, because this is one other thing I was planning to do. In my case, I have a situation at a courthouse where the judges have been engaging in all kinds of, I would say, criminal misconduct, along with the lawyers that they're protecting and allowing to do all kinds of, get away with all kinds of crimes, or trying to cover up for their crimes. It's obvious what they're doing. And I have tried to do citizen's arrest of these individuals in the courthouse. But the sheriff deputies refused to accept my citizen's arrest, and they threatened to take me to jail if I tried to arrest these individuals in the courthouse. And then on top of that, I said, okay, we'll take a police report. They won't even take a police report. So I have filed numerous complaints against specific officers to their supervisors there in the courthouse. I even went to the sheriff himself, this is the L.A. County Sheriff, the last L.A. County Sheriff, whose last name was McDonald, when they started a Citizens Oversight Commission, which I've been going to regularly. And he told me, I told him what was going on, and they refusing my citizen's arrest, and the judges and others just committing felony crimes. He told me that the sheriffs do not have jurisdiction in the courtroom. So after that, I went to the officers that are over the courthouse, complaining to them, and they tell me the same thing. They don't have any jurisdiction. They actually sent me that in writing. So I'm planning now what I would like to do, or this is what I'm thinking, is to try to file an important injunction against the sheriff deputies to get a restraining order against them not to put their hands on me, and use this as evidence along with all the crimes that these other individuals, including the judges, are committing, so that I can go in and arrest these people. I've also been...
Can I make a
comment? Go ahead.
I was going to say, can I make a comment on that real quick?
Yes.
The sheriff is the highest elected legal authority in any county. So that's not true. And if that is true, then the sheriff has to provide you with documentation saying that the courtroom is outside of his county and outside of his jurisdiction legally. And then you'd have to go to the courthouse and magically find a way for them to provide evidence that they are of another jurisdiction. But no, the sheriff is the highest legal authority elected official in the county. The sheriff can arrest an FBI agent. The sheriff could arrest the president if he wanted to. So long as they are in his county, he is the law, because he's the only lawful, like, actual representative of that county elected. So that's nonsense. On the second side of it, there is no – they can lie to you. They will do everything they can as law enforcement agents to build a case. They can lie to you, and then they get mad and start pointing fingers when you lie to them. But they can lie to you all the time, and it doesn't mean anything. So long as they can build a case, they will lie. So right there, the sheriff does have jurisdiction over everything in the county, because he's the highest power of legality in that location for that entire county, because he was elected. A bunch of other people, chief of police, a bunch of these attorneys that are running around, yeah, they're appointed. They're not elected. That's what gives the sheriff, he's the top dog when it comes to jurisdiction in the county.
Do you think I would have a case for a lawsuit against the sheriff's department?
What case? So you were trying to citizens arrest people?
Yes. Well,
on what grounds?
My case would be that it's because of their willful negligence and allowing these criminals to operate in that courthouse, and specifically in my case, that has led to a lot of damages in my case. And specifically in my case now, we're talking about millions of dollars.
So you'd be suing for damages, or you're suing for...
Oh, yeah, damages.
Whoa. Okay.
On proof.
Okay.
Actual damages.
Actual damages, like...
Yeah.
Financial misgivings. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
The way, I don't know. See, that's a little bit more complicated. Because if you look at the similarities between everyone in the courtroom and their differences, they have similarities with themselves, and they have a difference between themselves and you. They're all members of the bar. They all represent the state. And then there's you. Now, not necessarily the sheriff's department. Most times they're not lawyers, but they still represent the state. So it's the entire state and all the representatives against you. Now, if you've been mistreated and it's cost you financially, would you be suing the city or the county?
It would be the county.
Okay. I'm not entirely familiar with your situation, but if you, like I said, if you have the facts and evidence, I don't know, maybe find an attorney that doesn't really want to live in California anymore, and maybe he'll push it through, and he's willing to appeal over and over again until it gets to a higher court. But that's what I'm saying. That's what you're actually going up against. You're going up against representatives of the state and members of the bar.
Well, I've seen lawsuits here in Los Angeles against the sheriff's department, which show how corrupt and flaky they are. There was a wrongful death lawsuit about a year or so ago against the sheriff's department, and they would not answer any of their discovery. So they filed for terminating sanctions, and the judge granted it. This was for millions of dollars,
mm-hmm.
because the sheriffs would not answer their discovery. And that's
mm-hmm.
directly related to the fact that they're totally corrupt. And I think probably they would do the same thing in this case. In fact, I think
yeah,
they
most
would
likely.
Settle out of court.
But that's what I'm telling you.
They
represent the state. That's first and foremost. That's the best understanding you could possibly have in the beginning of anything you're trying to pursue. They represent the state, the judge, the prosecutor, and any potential defense attorney that you could have or whatever. They're all members of the bar and representing the state. So everyone in the courtroom that you're talking to is representing the state, except for witnesses, and then there's you. So that's why something like that would get thrown out, because they have to defend the state. They have to defend the state's interests. They have to be zealous advocates for the state and everything else. They they put a Band-Aid on a knife wound all the time. Sometimes they'll pay out, you know, they'll settle. You know, it was a $20 million lawsuit, they'll give you $750,000. Walk away, sign this non-disclosure agreement, be quiet. You know, that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's nonsense. This isn't a justice system. This is a bunch of people moving parts around, defending their capital, which is the state. I'm not trying to discourage you from doing anything. I'm just telling you.
I kind of agree with you on that partly, but the LA County Sheriff's is in hot water actually, and they're so corrupt. I think I might have a chance, but I understand what you're talking about as to they're connected with the bar, because the bar has a lot to do with this, because I've filed complaints to the bar on a bunch of these lawyers and judges, and they don't do nothing about it. California Bar Association is totally corrupt. And actually,
can I tell you a short story?
Yeah.
The person that I initially went to with my complaints down in Florida, I worked with her for like 3 months. We were just gathering evidence, and we were talking to all these people. We were going down and interviewing everybody. Gathering receipts and timestamps for their court dates and everything. And she got three different letters from the Florida bar saying that she's under review. So the reason that these people aren't willing to go against other members of the bar is because they can be disbarred themselves. And all they have to do is say unethical practice, and they're removed. Doesn't matter. Ethics never matters to them. I'm just saying, this is real stuff that people don't understand about law enforcement and how all this stuff happens. They don't care particularly about anybody that, like, if they're messing with you and it's cost you millions of dollars, I don't know what you did. I don't know what they're accusing you of. I don't know what resolve you really have. But if they came after you for that much money and you spent that much time on it, you must have really been a thorn in their side. And they're not going to turn on their own people easily, because essentially that lawsuit for corruption is going to get probably several people disbarred, right?
That I'm not sure about.
Are you talking about
so.
Attorneys or just the sheriff's office?
Yeah, this is a lawsuit just against the sheriff's office. And the complaint would be that they wouldn't enforce the law against criminal attorneys and judges and litigants, which I have a lot of evidence on. Now, my case is in the probate court here. This is a trust litigation case. And basically, I'm talking about the millions of dollars is from damages that's happened to the trust, which is my inheritance. And the fact that they will not get off, they put in a court-appointed trustee that's just been stealing from the trust. And they will not remove him. And I'm talking about the court, the judges in my case. And
so they're leeching off of your trust, your inheritance?
Right.
To cover the financial cost of the suit you're bringing?
The suit, I haven't filed this suit yet. I'm saying I'm just thinking about it. This is a way to try to get the sheriff to do his job in the courthouse, which I would say this, I do have grounds for a lawsuit, because this, the damage that's been done in my case is directly, or the negligence of the sheriff's department is the proximal cause of the damages in my probate case, because they won't do their job.
Oh, so they're negating their responsibility to uphold your case and you actually getting your payout?
Right.
Hmm. That's actually very tricky. Because on one side you have, now I don't know what entirely, like I said, I don't know your entire situation, but if you have a payout coming to you and the trustee is not upholding their obligation that they were contractually bound to, and the sheriff's office that is supposed to enforce that isn't doing anything about it, I mean, that sounds like something I would pursue. I would go after them.
Yes, I am trying to find a law firm that would take the case at this point. I think I do. Well, I know I have a case. Again, it's a matter of finding the right people. I've been trying to get a legal malpractice case going too, because the attorneys are so corrupt in these cases, and that's been very difficult. I even had a prepaid legal service that was looking for me also. And I've talked to several lawyers. These are legal malpractice lawyers. And the problem is they all know each other, so they won't take the case. This is Los Angeles.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
And if I were you,
I would go up to like Sacramento, try to find an attorney up there that doesn't care about Los Angeles, so long as they are a part of the California bar. Just find some rogue lawyer up north, and just see what you can get. You know, because down there in your area, you're not going to find people that are going to stab each other in the back because they're stabbing too many other people in the back, and they're all high-fiving each other after the deed is done. That's what I'm telling you. they're all nice down there. That's what I'm saying. It was the same thing in Chicago. They're all nice, high-fiving each other, and everyone's feeling good because it doesn't matter so long as they're part of the same team. It doesn't matter who they screw over. And it sounds like they're trying to screw you over right now. I probably wouldn't talk to any attorneys in L.A. I would go up north.
I agree with that. I think that's what I'm going to have to do.
Just see if you can get a sit-down sometime. You know, talk to two or three different attorneys up north in Sacramento, maybe in the Bay Area. You know, just see if you can get a sit-down interview, like a conversation with them. And, yeah, if you can bring them in on it, you know. I say schedule a few because they might laugh you out of their office if they know people in L.A. But, yeah, you know, schedule a few. See who's up there, who's actually doing good work. People who, I mean, like I said, you got to research attorneys. It's so ridiculous these days. You have to research your attorneys because everyone has that commercial coming out. If you want us to fight for you, just call this 800 number. That's adorable, but they don't actually care about you. It's
right.
The smaller firms that would actually go and help you.
Right. I want to say before we go on that my chat is open here. I have one person that's in the chat. People don't use the chat like they used to on Blog Talk Radio. I think that might be because they're listening to the show on their cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Are you on your cell phone now or a computer?
I'm on my cell phone now. I found it on my cell phone. I found your show on my cell phone.
Yeah, back when I started with Blog Talk, that was years and years ago, I used to get a lot of people to come to the chat. And I was using a computer then. I'm using a computer now to do my show. I could do the show on a cell phone. I just can't get used to that. But that shows how sophisticated these cell phones are now. And I just love the technology. I've been working with computers for most of my adult life and watching the evolution. And I love it, but these cell phones are like having a computer, like right in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't just get used to doing a show from my cell phone. I may have to, though, when I go out in the field. I'm planning to do demonstrations here in Los Angeles at the district attorney's office, so I might want to interview people there during the demonstrations. I'm trying to put pressure on.
Make sure to bring a mobile charging port with you so you can record as much audio as possible without your phone dying. It's just basically a battery pack that you carry around and plug your phone into.
Right. Exactly. Even though I will have, I'll have recording equipment with me. And plus my cameras, because I want to shoot video. So I want to have it very well documented. I might end up having to sue the district attorney's office if they don't do anything about this complaint. Now, I filed a complaint with them for real estate fraud, which they haven't done anything about yet, which is related to this probate case, and I mentioned that. Now, I think I could bring them, I could bring a lawsuit against the district attorney, and this is L.A. County also. You're really suing L.A. County. But I think that is that, I think it's negligent malfeasance.
What actually happened?
Well, if I file a complaint with them, a legitimate complaint detailing felonies that are going on related to real estate in my probate case, and the district attorney or their deputy attorneys will not prosecute.
Well, what happened though? Did they seize property without cause, or what happened?
Well, now that goes back to this criminal fiduciary that the court appointed over my case. He's a temporary trustee that I've been trying to get removed for years. And there's a commercial property that I am saying is actually supposed to come to me out of that trust. And it hasn't been distributed. Technically, it was still in the trust. They were trying to sell it. They were saying, oh, well, we just don't have enough money to operate the trust, which was a lie. And I had filed with the court saying, well, all you got to do is get rid of this trustee and there'll be plenty of money. Because now my mother passed away in 2017. And this is like 2020 or something like that. And they're trying to sell the property. He hasn't made it productive for the whole time he's been a temporary court-appointed trustee since like 2015. So he's trying to sell it. I was blocking it. I was opposed to it. It went all the way to a trial. And I couldn't find an attorney to take my case. So I did the trial myself. And the judge agreed with me and denied to sell the property. So then about 8 or 9 months after that, the trustee goes and sells the property. Didn't get court approval for it or nothing. And then
hold on. The property was in the trust or the property was left in a will to you?
Yes, it was in the trust. It technically was willed to my brother, who was the co-trustee, but him and my sister were removed because of criminal malfeasance.
Flipped the script on your family, violating the contract, which would actually be grounds to remove him as trustee.
Right. And disinherited him. That's called a predeceased clause in law in California, where they don't get anything, basically. Plus, now my brother passed away. And I have grounds there to claim that property because of the damages, what was lost from my inheritance because of what my brother and sister stole before they were removed as trustees.
So there are multiple parties making multiple claims here.
To a certain extent. Yes.
Well, see, your siblings, trustees.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry, your siblings were trustees as well, and then they were removed as trustees?
Yes.
So the only trustee left was an attorney that your mother signed to have as a trustee?
No. The court appointed this rat. This was a court-appointed...
Okay, so it was a court-appointed attorney as the last trustee, the only one still holding the bag. But the point of a trustee is the fiduciary responsibility to uphold the wishes of the contract, right?
Right.
Man, that's... that's like a beehive. That's so many moving parts. Okay, so... the only trustee left is this court-appointed person. That's the only thing standing between you and your inheritance.
That shouldn't be there.
And your siblings got removed for what reason?
For malfeasance, basically filing fraudulent accountings for almost 10 years.
Okay, so they're irresponsible, and you're the last one left that has a claim?
Right.
Wow. That's something you see in movies. Okay. Yeah, I can understand that too. You know, we had a little debacle with my father's inheritance and stuff with my siblings, but we ended up figuring it out over a conversation at our farmhouse. Let's see here. So, I like I said, I would go up north. I would find somebody that's not in communication with LA attorneys. That's the best chance you have, is someone that doesn't care about going down to LA. It's not going to necessarily ruin any reputation or whatever, because they can go down there, help you out, and then go back home and go about their life. That's kind of what you're going to have to convince them of, is, oh, it's not a big deal. You know, come down to LA, help me out with this land dispute and this inheritance dispute, and maybe, you know, file a few complaints against the sheriff's department, maybe a few attorneys. And then, yeah, go back home. I don't know. That's going to be hard to sell. But at the end of the day, are you trying to be vengeful against the people that have wronged you, or do you just want the inheritance?
Both.
If you could have one and not the other, which one would that be?
Well, that would be to have my inheritance.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. If you had your inheritance and you had more opportunity later on when you're more financially, you know, endowed, would you pursue the inheritance first and then come back for the accountability when you're more able to do so later?
That might be a possibility.
I'm just saying, I'm talking strategy with you here, friend. I'm just saying that's what I would do. If they were messing with my inheritance, I would go after the inheritance first, make sure I was financially secure in a few different facets, and then I would pursue some kind of responsibility, maybe even a lawsuit, gaining me more money at a later point. But yeah, both at the same time, that's a lot. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes sense. But now I'm going after both now because I can't get them – the judge to do what she's supposed to be doing. She's not operating according to the law, because this court-appointed trustee should have been removed a long time ago. And he's just doing self-serving stuff to try to get money off of this, which is my inheritance. Basically,
yes,
he's stealing my inheritance, and the court is judicial-approved theft. So, and the judge will not remove him. I've filed the documents over and over again and in the court, and we've had hearings, and the judge is just totally prejudiced against me. So
okay.
That's why I'm going after both.
Have you considered a change of venue to potentially get a different judge?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
to
like
tell
I said.
You,
it
like
it, 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 all starts, it all starts with somebody – Yes, sir.
Since 2017, now, I have had, this is when three judges, two of them got removed off the bench. They won't say that publicly, but I believe it was from complaints that I had filed. I was filing a bunch of complaints on them all over the place, including the local government.
Well, hold on. Did they recuse themselves, or did you file a complaint and then they removed them, or they were removed, like, from
their
judicial?
Their excuse is that, oh, they just took an early retirement.
Oh, man,
and they got
LA is a lot like Chicago. Yeah, it's a lot like
so
Chicago.
So it's been, this is the third judge now that's been on this case, and I'm trying to get her removed. But yeah, to answer your question, I have done that change. You say a change of venue, it's not really a change of venue. They just change out a dirty judge for another dirty judge.
Well, no, I was saying a change of venue. How many courthouses do they have in Los Angeles County?
Oh, that's why this is a unique situation. That's why, in fact, I had published a petition on. What's the name of that? I can't think of the name right now. It'll come to me. But I've published a petition to actually jail all of the judges in this courthouse. The situation here in California is now we had a corrupt governor here before this current corrupt governor, Jerry Brown. And they always like to pull this recession stuff. To me, it's just an excuse to jack everything up. So he would say, oh, there's a recession. We got to cut back on everything and blah, blah, blah. Even though towards the end, he was saying, oh, there's a budget surplus. I think it's because someone had said they were going to audit the California budget or something like that. But anyway, one of the things they did was to cut the budget to the courts. And this is all throughout the state of California. The way it affected California, the Los Angeles County courts, is that they have directed all of the probate courts throughout Los Angeles County to one courthouse, and that's the one I'm in, the Stanley Moss Courthouse in downtown Los Angeles. Now, we're talking LA is a huge county.
Yes, sir.
So all of them are coming through Stanley Moss. No, I can't go to another courthouse to answer your question.
Okay, so they funneled everything into a single courthouse. Do you have any idea how many judges are capable or have previous history with handling cases like yours?
I haven't heard anything good about any of the judges, the probate judges in Stanley Moss Courthouse. I don't know a single good judge.
So it sounds like you have all the facts and evidence on your side. You have potentially, if you go up north, somebody to represent you, and you're just stuck with the presiding judge being corrupt no matter what you do.
Yes.
So you're between a rock and a hard place, and you're standing in quicksand. Like, that's rough, buddy. No,
yeah.
I've seen terrible things in Chicago. Not that detrimental. I mean, there were no siblings involved, so there was nobody to dispute at a later time. But yeah, it sounds very similar to stuff I've seen in Chicago, where like, they had a trustee that was basically milking the inheritance, calling it legal fees and all this other nonsense, and they were making it impossible for the person named in the inheritance or the next of kin to actually take the inheritance the way they were supposed to. And, yeah, they just held on to it for a decade. That's rough. Yeah, no, I would say I mean, one step at a time, though. If you can't get this judge removed from the case. First things first, though. Find somebody who can legally represent you in the state of California, who's not from there, who isn't shaking hands and having dinner every, you know, month with the people that have been mistreating you. And then after that, see what they can do to get a different judge. I mean, that's all I can really suggest at this point, because they're not going to help you. The judges, like I said, they all represent the state. You got to find some kind of rogue attorney up in Sacramento or, down in San Diego. Somebody that's not from the town that, you know, that doesn't care. And they can just go back home and keep living their life, and it's not going to impact them. Unless they start getting those threatening letters from the bar saying, we're going to disbar you, or we're going to put your bar card before review for the state, which is what they did to my friend who was an attorney down in Florida. They sent her three of those letters, and she was like, I don't know if I can work with you anymore. I was like, yeah, I understand. There's nothing, you know, it's just a racket all the way around. They don't care. They have a tight hold on people, especially when financial matters and property matters. That's a very deep hole to climb your way out of. But, yeah, like I said, if you can find somebody somewhere, I don't care where. I don't care if you have to go all the way up to Reading. Find somebody who is willing to represent you and knows what they're talking about. Bring them back to L.A. See if you can get that judge removed. I don't know. That's a lot of moving parts, though.
Yeah, it's a real nightmare.
They say how intricate that is, like how many that's giving me a headache even thinking, like all the possibilities of what could happen. Because I know that, I've dealt with cases where, there was a case and they had a trustee and two siblings, and one sibling claimed that, I'm the firstborn, so property, and he can get half the money and, you know, send everybody on their way. I don't know. I mean, resolving stuff like this outside of court is great, but because you have a trustee that's not letting go, they're just going to keep leeching off of your finances and your inheritance. Yeah, that's not cool. Because they have a contract, and they're lying a lot to maintain their point in that contract of maintaining the finances for that trust. So, yeah.
That's a well, it's not show. That he. It's not so much that he's not letting go; is the judge will not get him out of there.
So the trustee might be willing to let go of it.
He's dumb enough to stay as long as he's making money, and that's extremely stupid. But
future ramifications that could come into his pocket from the money he's taken.
Yeah, it doesn't seem. Yeah, it's like. And it shows how stupid he is. He thinks, well, just because the judge approved it, it's supposed to be legal. But the judge is not, again, and it's violating California probate statutes. A trustee here is supposed to be acting in the best interest of the beneficiaries at all times.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to
mm-hmm.
make trust commercial properties productive, which he hasn't done.
Actually a fiduciary responsibility in almost all legal contracts when it comes to a trustee position. Yeah.
He's supposed
if
to be recovering.
You can't keep anything stagnant.
Right. And that's what he's done with this particular commercial property. The idiot's selling this property that he hasn't made productive since 2015. And he wants to sell it for pennies on the dollar. That's how stupid he is. He's an idiot.
Well, I have great confidence that you'll be able to find somebody up north or maybe down south. I don't know. I haven't lived in California in a long time, but yeah, there are attorneys. There are attorneys that that know a lot, but they go out of their way to help people, so they help people more than they make money. So I would look at small law offices all over, I mean, just outside of Los Angeles County, who don't care if they take on the system in L.A., and they can go back to their lives after the fact, because that's the entire, you know, that's what you should be looking at. And then, yeah, I mean, that person might be able, you know, if you find an attorney who is willing to help you out, they might be able to get somebody else in there. You know, they might be a little bit better at the paperwork. Who knows? But yeah, I'm just saying, that's a crazy situation.
Yeah, that just shows it. Now, I'm in the same courthouse as the Britney Spears case. Have you heard about the Britney Spears case?
Yeah, her dad is lazy and decided to hold on to her money for a long period of time and feed her slowly thousands of dollars on occasion.
Yeah.
And he was irresponsible with her money.
It's an oversimplification, but it's been going on a long time. Like my case, in fact, my case has been going on longer than hers. Her case has been going on for 14 years. And basically what was going on in her case is the judges have just approved a looting of her estate by a bunch of attorneys. They were just having a real good time. And her father, who was a conservator. But again, I blame the judges in that case for letting all of those abuses go on for so long and not shutting them down like they should have.
There's a good chance they were on the take. I mean, what did they have to benefit from? That's what it always comes down to. Who benefits? How did they benefit?
Always comes down to the money.
Yeah, I know. Was her father donating money to the county? I don't know. I would look into that, donating her money, because he didn't earn that money.
Well, there's a whole lot involved. I don't even have the time to go into all of it, but her father was basically self-dealing. I mean, he was taking millions of dollars. He was buying properties. He was selling properties for pennies on the dollar. He even tried to start a business. He was using money from her estate to finance a business. I don't think that ever got off the ground or became productive. And basically, it was criminal violations. And her attorney actually came to court with an FBI agent at the last hearing. And again, what they were doing was criminal. And we're talking about, like, there's like 14 parties at the last hearing, including her father and one court-appointed lawyer, Samuel Ingham, which was in my case. And
you said he was using her money to buy property and sell it for pennies on the dollar?
Right.
Was he laundering?
I don't know. I don't know if he was laundering. It said like he would sell the properties to other family members and friends, way below market value.
So he's just stealing from his daughter. Yeah, good way to be. Great father figure.
Yeah. Yeah. But now they all had the nerves to come to court at the last hearing, asking the judge for more money. Get this picture. Her lawyer is in court saying there was criminal violations going on in this conservatorship. And he's got an FBI agent with him. And these people are sitting there, all of them, talking about, oh, we want more money. So her lawyer said, no, we don't want to pay nobody today. we're going to go to trial to prove what should be paid and what should be returned. And Britney Spears is out of the conservatorship. All of it is her money now. She controls all that. And all of you are going to have to go get your own lawyers, including her father. Now, her father's sitting there, and he's one of the biggest violators. He's sitting there asking the court to give him, I think it's like $12,000 a month or something like that. He still wants
it's amazing. It's amazing what money does to people.
Yeah.
Money and power.
Yeah. Family.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't finish it. That's why I couldn't become a lawyer, because I didn't care. I wasn't really going for the money, but the power that they were just watching these people. It was like the slimiest, most disgusting, because they lie all the time, and you know they're lying. You see them lying to your face. And you can't do anything about it. So
I've noticed that these lawyers lie a lot. They lie. Oh, I just hate that. It's like, if I get a lawyer that starts to lie to me, that's it. I'll fire him in a second.
They say that politicians are just ugly people that were too ugly to be actors. And lawyers were people who were too money hungry to become politicians. So, yeah, they're all actors. They lie. I mean, I can't imagine. I'm just saying, man. I can't imagine if we had honest lawyers. You know, they made an entire movie out of this with what's his name? Remember that movie Liar Liar?
I remember the name. I don't think I saw it.
Yeah, it was this attorney. His son blew out a candle on a birthday cake, and in X amount of time, he had to tell the truth. And he was an attorney, a corporate attorney, and he couldn't lie. So he went to the court, and he was like, I can't lie, because he was defending his client as a zealous advocate. So it was impossible for him to lie. And he ended up... You know, he ended up telling the truth, but that his client was a terrible person, and the other guy won the case. Yeah, that's what they do. They lie. I don't know. I guess that's a bigger problem. But, yeah. So no matter where you go, like I said, small firms, if you go to a big firm up north or down south, wherever you're trying to go, that's up to you. Just make sure it's in California and that they're licensed. But make sure that, because a big firm, they're really good liars. In the small firm, either they're really trying to help people or they suck at lying, in which case you can read them a lot easier. You know, one or two people working in the office, you know, find someone like that, because when they have three partners, you know, it's blah, 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 and blah, blah, and they have, you know, 20 people trying to fight for a partner position, they're going to BS you no different than the judges, attorneys, and sheriff's office. So that's the best advice I can give, is find a small firm to take care of you up north, and make sure to sit down with them before you bring them on. You know, no over the phone stuff. Sit down and actually look them in the eye and see, you know, what they're really about, because they lie. I'm not going to sell that short at all. It's not a honest man's game.
I agree with that. Do you have anything specific about probate cases? I know there's a lot going on down there in Florida. The legislature down there is perhaps passing some laws to reform conservatorships. From what I understand,
I was working on something in Duval, out there in Jacksonville. Can't really talk about it that much. I can say that a grandmother had passed. She owned some property. She had a trustee. That trustee was supposed to hand over the value of the property, you know, They're supposed to hand everything over at the age of 21 to an orphan because she was raised by her grandmother. Both of her parents were gone. She was the only child. And the trustee held on to it, and they fought it until she was 25. And I'm not entirely sure what happened to the trustee, but I think that they had to give the funds that they had spent for the last 4 years. They had to give that back, or they faced prison time. I never really got involved with a lot of stuff, but I just know how it operates, and that's what I was trying to talk to you about, is the operation of it.
You mean operation of the probate courts or conservatorship?
Yeah. Conservatorships, probate court, anything basically outside of traffic and like felony, like murder, theft, you know, all that nonsense. But yeah, when it comes to the financial sector of the court system, it's very political. People are trying to, they'll move things around a lot to ensure that the state is protected and that they can get as much money and costs to the people filing, like yourself, as possible. So, what do they call that? There's actually a term for this.
Paybacks?
Oh, no, hold on. It's a rigmarole.
Rigmarole.
Yeah, a rigmarole. Yeah, it's a lengthy process that costs you a bunch of money. It's very complicated, not because it's actually complicated, because they complicate it, and it's going to cost you a bunch of money. At the end, no matter the outcome, they get a bunch of money. You might win in the end, but they got so much for your time and your resources that they win too, so they're just trying to win at some point, you know, to some length.
Yeah, I agree. I call that the house always wins. And I think that's what I see, and it's a common theme from a lot of these cases that I've seen over the years, is the judges will take the side of a corrupt family member that wants to steal and spend a lot of money on a law firm or an attorney. The judge will back that person over the other family members because they know that they're making money.
Well, it's that, but it's better for the state to be the dealer and have you and a family member or you and anybody contesting you sitting at the table. And the state's entire prerogative is to keep you at the table as long as possible. It doesn't matter, because especially if you're, you know, you're paying every time a card is dealt.
Right.
Every time there's a case. Yeah, that's their entire prerogative, to keep you at the table.
That's why also the judges don't, or they take advantage of you, or they're actually hostile to you if you're representing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
In a case, they want to force you to pay for some high-priced attorney.
Exactly why I suggest you get in contact with a small firm attorney up north. I'm just saying. Save yourself a few bucks.
I call it a judicial extortion system. Now, to tell you more about my case, and it's a lot, a whole lot. I've been through a whole lot with this. I've seen good law, small law firms. I've seen bad law, small law firms, which is basically an attorney. I've seen good large law firms and bad large law firms. In probate now, they're so expensive. Like most probate attorneys, especially for my case now, since there's so many documents and actions that have been done in my case for years and years, they want a minimum of like $5,000 retainer just to get started. And you better not say you want to go to trial. And my case is going to involve some trials because the judge don't want to do nothing about their criminal violations. So you're talking about going to a trial. They're talking about $15,000, you know, $20,000, $30,000 to go to a trial, to do a trial, especially if there's discovery involved.
Yeah. They're representing the state and they're members of the bar. You're not.
And that's with a small
law. You're a citizen of the state. I'm just saying, no, they represent the state and they're members of the bar. You are a citizen of the state. That's the difference. That's the most important thing to understand about the situation you're in. If you were a member of the bar, they might have to take you more seriously because at that point you'd be able to actually find the legal loopholes to actually hold them accountable. They already have their friendships. They already have an entire support network, members of the bar from Los Angeles County. So it doesn't matter how much you research on the outside, so long as you're not a part of the club, that is the Bar Association, it's almost impossible for you to, you know, actually get this done without paying a bunch of money.
Yeah, yeah. It's, yeah. The court or the judges are going to try to force you to pay a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And even the appellate attorney. I could go on and on and tell you some stories about appellate attorneys that I've run into. I was trying to get an appellate attorney recently just for this probate case. And I interviewed several probate attorneys. Most of them want a minimum of $5,000 down.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted like $10,000 or more to do an appeal. I talked to one attorney. I called the California Bar and I asked them for a referral, specifically for an appellate attorney for a probate case. So they sent me this guy. I think he's a graduate of UCLA. I think he teaches UCLA law, something like that. And he specializes in trust estates and et cetera, et cetera. I paid him, I paid him $1,000 or $2,000 just to review the case to see if I have an appealable case, which I know I do because there was all kinds of misconduct by the judge, which was blowing things off at a trial. So he wrote me back, and I got the letter or the document that he sent me. In fact, I'm going to write a blog article about it and publish it on my website. Basically, he's saying, well, because you were representing yourself, that's grounds for them to deny the appeal. And then he was saying, well, the judge made some very obvious, deliberate mistakes, but they have absolute discretion over everything. And I'm talking like, and I have actually, I did a radio show about this particular trial that I'm talking about. It's on my website under the TJC Radio tab. And this is with Judge Luna. And I actually recorded the trial. So I played back exactly what was going on in the trial. And one of the things that she said, now there was, she was just denying everything. I'm saying that I wasn't ready to go to trial because the trustee hadn't filed an accounting in 3 years. So we were 3 years behind on that. Plus we had gone to discovery and they stonewalled the discovery, wouldn't give me none of the discovery, just boilerplate objections, et cetera, et cetera. But the judge forced me to go into a trial anyway. And then she goes, and I said, well, now I wanted her to take judicial notice that the former co-trustee, which was my sister, was there, which I was suing also, had been removed for criminal malfeasance, and she hasn't accounted for millions of dollars, which I had filed, and she just blew that off. So these are the kind of violations that we had that I wanted to appeal, which should have been appealable. But this so-called big-time appellate attorney said, oh, you don't have a case for appeal. And then he goes on to say, well, you just don't get justice from the appellate courts and that you should stay in the trial courts in this case. Because
that appellant attorney who was a professor at UCLA, he said that he couldn't go any further because you were exercising your Sixth Amendment right. I don't understand what the point is. I don't get that.
Yeah, that's basically what he said. And he said, you don't have a case, and I will not take your case. It's basically what he said. Goodbye.
And it's better. Like I said, if you can meet these people in person and sit down with them and get a read of their intentions, but they are professional liars, so let me remind you, that's what they do for a living. That's what an attorney is, a zealous advocate for their client regardless. I don't think people appreciate that.
So that's what things are going in my probate case. It's a real nightmare, and it's, you know, real expensive. That's all these courts are, is a legalized extortion system.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have to pay a whole lot of money to get any kind of justice.
If you're not a part of their club, yeah.
Yeah. Well, now our taxes pay for these courts.
Yes, absolutely.
And they have these self-help clinics in the courts,
mm-hmm.
which are just a joke. They hardly do anything. We have a law library, which is just down the street from the court. They do give classes and stuff, but it's still very limited. A lot of this stuff you can do yourself.
Uh-huh.
And some of the things that you can file, especially now with my case, because I'm citing actually criminal violations. And the court is supposed to be there to protect the trusts or to protect the conservatee.
Yeah, and okay. Right there. I have a flaw in logic there. Their first responsibility is to protect the club and represent the state. After that, their obligations, if it suits them, because they're humans, they're fallible, just like you and me, then they will take care of things after the fact. But first, they have to represent the state and protect the club. After that, yeah, sure. if it's possible for them to do so. If they have any soul left in them, yes, then they will uphold the trustee, the responsibility of fiduciary responsibility, maintaining the trust in legal contracts, yes. But they represent the state. They're a part of the bar. You're not. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. That what's on paper is, yes, they're absolutely supposed to do that, but what's on paper, especially in California. I don't know. I'm from Illinois, so we're in two very corrupt states. I don't know. Have you ever been to another state or lived in another state? California
is
definitely up there. Yeah, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, California. Four most corrupt states in the union. That's what we're playing with right here. But, yeah.
I agree. Are you guys
you're in the
still,
thick of it.
Do you still have the mask mandates there, the lockdowns?
I never followed that. I mean, I would put it on for like 3 minutes if I went into a grocery store. I was walking my dog through a park alone, and a cop was yelling at me, trying to call me over to him. I just kept walking. So I never actually, I could have faced something if I had gone back and actually listened to the cop, but I just kept walking. There was no point. If it's a if it's an emergency, he would follow me and warn me. If it's just him trying to write me a ticket for not wearing a mask, he can go kick rocks. So I never had to face it, really.
So you're required to wear a mask here inside, like at restaurants and county buildings?
Please charge the battery if low.
No, I'm saying I haven't done that the entire time.
The whole entire time. You've always ignored.
I'm sorry, what?
But now, what is the official word there in Florida right now? What city are you in?
Right now, I'm up in Champaign, Illinois. I just got back here from Maine. I was in Portland, Maine. Now I move around a lot.
So you're in Chicago now?
No, I'm about 2.5 hours south of Chicago in Champaign, and I'll be in Wichita in 3 days.
Do they have
the
mask mandates going on there?
Where I'm at in Champaign?
Yeah.
No, I think they calmed down. I think a few grocery stores and restaurants, you know, they still expect you to walk in and you can take it off the moment you sit down. Nobody really takes it that seriously. Illinois is only corrupted by Chicago. So, I mean, outside of Chicago, most of us don't really care about anything. Like I said, I'll be in Wichita in a few days either way. So I'm not too concerned. I know they don't care in Kansas.
Are your government offices either shut down or partially operating?
No, I think they're fully operational.
Okay.
Illinois is the only thing that makes Illinois bad is two things: Chicagoland, like the suburbs in Chicago, and then its influence on the capital down in Springfield. People outside of Chicago and Springfield don't really care about, like, they don't care what they're doing up there. There are actually 12 counties that were trying to form a Northern Illinois or North Illinois, Southern Illinois. Like, they were trying to separate into two different states, cut it off at Kankakee, because Chicago was costing us a bunch of money with all the criminality up there. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not in Illinois like this. This is a pit stop. I'm going back home to Kansas. So I don't know what they do around here. I'm still
is
not
it pretty cold
wear a mask.
Is it pretty cold up there?
Yeah, there's snow all over the place. I got this balaclava. You know what that is?
Nope.
It's a balaclava is it's a cylinder face mask that you can pull over your head, and it, you know, covers your neck and your face from the Crimean War of 1854. That's what the British sent their troops to make sure that they could keep fighting in the freezing cold. And mine is the Gadsden flag. So it says, "Don't tread on me" all over the place. And if you're going to make me wear a mask, I'm going to, you know, it's going to be a middle finger the entire time. So if that makes sense.
I can kind of see it. I know I do not like the snow.
No, so, nobody likes the snow. I'm talking about the mask. No, this is ridiculous.
I
keep my truck in four-wheel drive now. I never did that before. I'm sliding all over the road here.
Wow. Yeah, I don't miss that at all. snow is all right to visit, you know, every now and then, but that's about it. I don't need it. Can't live in it. That's why I'm in California. As jacked up as California is, I would leave the state, but, you know, a lot of people are leaving California, going to Texas and Arizona, I think Colorado.
And Idaho.
Possibly Idaho, but, that's okay and everything. And, you know, the cost of living is cheaper and not as much traffic jams, but you got the winter time and it can come, that snow hits you. I lived in New Mexico. I lived in Texas.
You know, a lot of New Yorkers and Californians are actually moving to Florida, and they don't get snow. They get ridiculous rain. But other than that, yeah, it's like hurricanes and stuff. But yeah, not so much snow.
Yeah, the that snow hits you and you come back to California. I could get used to the snow. Is like, and the summers are like hot and humid, but they had good air conditioning.
Oh, no, it's ridiculous, man. When I lived in Florida, I was there for about a month, and I didn't take any vaccines for anything, and I felt like I was going to die for like 3 days. I caught something. I don't even know what it was. But, yeah, I could hardly get out of bed. I had my female friend bring me some soup and stuff. Like, I was like, I'm not leaving this bed. I can't even stand up. But yeah, after 3 days, yeah, my immune system kicked in and it was actually amazing. But no, it was hot the entire time. It was weird coming because I went down there from Illinois, so it would be like 65 degrees, and I'd be out there in a t-shirt, and everyone was like in sweatpants and sweaters and stuff, and I'm like, man, you guys, you have no idea. And I didn't want to acclimate too much, so yeah. When I went up to Maine, it was it was very similar to Illinois, except for they were more hilly and irresponsible with the way that they built roads. Because it was like, oh, you know, here's 2 feet of snow, and you built this at a 45-degree angle. Yeah, let's go ahead and drive up this hill to get home. But yeah. Snow's not too bad, though. I don't know. I was thinking about going to Boise after I finish up my job in Wichita. Who knows?
Yeah, I can't. Could never get adjusted to snow. So I'm a West Coast boy all the way around. So I'm kind of stuck here in California. As bad as it is really bad.
Yeah, your governor is pretty terrible.
Yeah, yeah. He's a class act, is what I would call it. But the
charge the battery is low.
Something in here is, I don't know what electronic device keeps going off. But that is, I'm just about out of time here. So,
yes, sir. Please do take my advice, though. Talk to somebody outside of the area. You know, see if you can get a sit down with a couple people. Like, schedule a few different interviews, and get a read on them. Hopefully, that'll get you to where you're trying to go.
Please charge the battery is low.
I will. I am going to do that. I'm going to explore that quite a bit because they got their own little circles going down here. So
absolutely,
I will do that. Plus a bunch of other things that I'm going to do. If you know of any other lawyers that are willing to speak out about corruption in the probate courts, please send them my way. I want to do a series with lawyers on the probate courts.
I can make a few phone calls down south, and I can talk to a couple of people in Chicago and see what's going on. But yeah, I don't know a lot of people that actually want to come out and talk about it while they're still working in that arena, because it's a circus. We all know it's a circus. But they're that lying getting whipped while a chair is being held in their face, you know. They're out there act, but really they're just a pawn. So they're just trying to make their money. So I don't know how many people I'm actually going to be able to send.
Please charge the battery is low.
I'll give it a shot.
Okay. I certainly appreciate that. And I better get going here. I don't have much time left. It was good talking to you. I hope you come back to the show sometime in the future. Let us know what's going on wherever you go.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you for calling in. And that'll just about do it for this show. Wait just a minute. Let me go turn this thing off. Messing up my show. I think I figured out what the problem was there. It's a Bluetooth speaker. I need to charge the battery, which I'm not going to do right now. But that is the show for today, February 6th in the year 2022. Again, I think I'm going to set up another channel on Blog Talk for Probate Corruption Show or Probate Corruption Series. Maybe that's what I'll do. I don't know how long it's going to take to end this corruption that we have in probate courts in this country, even in California. And that is it for me today. I'm going to play my little exit music here. And I am going to be doing shows on a regular basis. I am going to actually try to syndicate this show. I'm going to be on Apple and Spotify soon. So you'll be able to hear the podcast from Apple and on Spotify, hopefully soon. And that's it for me today. Hear my podcast, read my blog posts, and see my videos on my new website that I am building at tjcla.com. I am also on Facebook at facebook.com/Ernest.More.3538.